Ecclesiastes 12. And we're going to read about half the chapter this morning to by way of introduction. And Hebrews 12 and verse number 1. And as he's wrapping up the book of Ecclesiastes here, does anybody remember who the Lord used to write the book? Solomon. There you go. And of course we know Solomon did most of Proverbs, right? Not quite all, but most of Proverbs. Song of Solomon, of course, and then Ecclesiastes as well. And a good while back we went through the book of Ecclesiastes in Sunday school and spent some time there, and I learned a lot through that. And Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 1, we'll begin reading here. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." I want, as we read these verses this morning, I don't think I'm going to make many comments as we read through them, but I want you to notice he's kind of going through here well, I'm probably going to wind up making some comments, but he's going through kind of a cycle of a person's life, if you will, in the first seven verses. And I'm going to read to you a few things. If you have notes in the... I have a Thompson Chain reference Bible, and so in the corner of mine, of course, King James. But anyway, in the corner, it's got some notes and things, and it has like some different descriptions at different points. And some of your Bibles may have some of those things. And it's interesting to look at what he's talking about. And you can, if you're not careful, just glancing, reading through it, you can miss that cycle of life in detail that he's given. So I'm going to kind of add a few things, not adding to the Bible, but kind of describing what these phrases mean as we go through here so you can kind of see some of this. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." That's pretty easy to tell what he's talking about there, right? "While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." When you get older, right, things are different than the way they used to be. He says, "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." Notice this is interesting. "In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble." Talking about here, I believe, a feebleness, if you will. When you get older, you get kind of feeble and things begin to tremble when you try to walk or stand up sometimes, right? That feebleness here. "And the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few." Now, I've heard some people talk that they're saying that's referring to the teeth there, because your teeth, your grinders are few, you start losing teeth, amen, when you get older. So you can look at it that way. And notice the next phrase, talking about the teeth, but the next one's interesting too. "And those that look out of the windows be darkened." In other words, something else that happened, not only do you start losing teeth when you get older, but also this right here, right? You have to get your glasses, your eyes, whatever. You know, even when you get older, if you've never had glasses your whole life, a lot of times when you get older, you still have to have reading glasses, right? And so you think about, you know, that becomes an issue when you get older. Darkened. When I seen that, I thought about people, especially have cataracts, is a thought that come to my mind, of how a lot of times, you know, things get dark, it gets harder for them to see. Just what I've heard people describe, and some of y'all may have had that done a lot of times. When you get older, that's something that creeps up. And but when they get the cataracts off, it's like, man, I can see better than ever before. 20/20 vision, you know, and it's just like, what in the world happened, you know? So that's what he's talking about here, I believe. "To look out the windows be darkened." Verse 4, "And the doors be shut in the streets, when the sound," notice this, "of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low." When it says here, "when the sound of the grinding is low," I believe that could be a reference to the hearing. Not only are you losing teeth, not only are you losing your vision, but then also on top of that, you don't hear as well as what you used to. Amen? And I feel that way in my life, and I know y'all go ahead and laugh, get it over with, but I feel that way, that I don't hear things as well as what I used to. I have to say this word a whole lot more often than what I used to, and that's the word, huh, right? We say that. The older you get, that becomes one of your more favorite words. Huh, right? And you can use that as a good excuse sometimes too, right, husbands? Huh? What? Right? So anyway, our turn off your hearing aid, right, Brother Tom? We talked about that. I ain't got to that excuse yet. I'm going to get there one day, but to be able to use that one. But, huh, what, you know? What did you say? I didn't hear you. Those types of things. And sometimes you wish you didn't hear certain things. But anyway, it says here, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. That, my Bible says in the corner, I thought was pretty interesting. I believe it could be a reference to this, talking about the fact that when you get older, a lot of times you have sleeplessness. Of the fact of you rise up, if you will, and it doesn't take much to stir you at times, to wake you up. You get up more throughout the night a lot of times, right, than what you used to for various reasons. You have to get up and you have to get down. And those types of things. You know, when I was younger, I can see that now in my life. When I was younger, I used to take, and it was rare when Mom and Dad would let me, but if I was out of school or summertime or whatever, I bet Donnie still does this, I'd take and sleep to lunchtime if they'd let me. I'd lay in the bed and I'd just sleep. You ever do that, Donnie? You ever get the chance? Man, just sleep in. Amen. See, I know how it is. I remember I used to sleep in. I'd enjoy it. And they'd come here. You ever going to get up? I'd be like, I guess I have to now. I really didn't want to. Right, Donnie? You know? And, you know, don't wake me up, you know? But now, I can't sleep in as late as what I used to. That's like Brother Gary. I wish he was here. He was telling me about, we was talking about his retirement a little bit yesterday, and he's like, every morning I'm still getting up 4 or 5 o'clock, drinking my coffee, you know, and you just can't sleep like you used to. Things change, right? I think about now, if I can sleep till 8 or 9, I'm doing good, and it used to be 11 or 12, you know, when I was younger, you know, when I would get those opportunities to sleep in. And then when I sleep to 8:30 or 9, then I do get up, guess what I have all day long? A headache. And it don't help. Makes me feel worse. Whereas 4 used to make me feel pretty good, you know. But you think about things change. He's going through the cycle of life here. Verse 5. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, it says, and fears shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. Let's read on. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Talking about the almond tree flourishing and the fears there, one of the things my Bible has in the side of gray hairs. And I believe that's another thing that happens a lot of times when you get older, right? Your hair starts turning colors. And sometimes it don't turn colors, it just lets loose, right? And so that happens too. And some people I've heard say, I wish it would have just turned colors and not went away, you know, completely. But anyway, like leaves falling off the tree. Anyway, it says, and then the last part of the verse, it said, because man goeth to his long home. He's been longing to go home. Amen. The older you get, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what happens? You long to go home. Amen. You begin to long especially more for home than when you was younger. It says, and the mourners go about the streets. I think that's a sign there talking about death. Amen. When the mourners would go about mourning when somebody died. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. And the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Amen. And that's definitely, we can tell what that's talking about. You know, of our body returning back to the dust that it came from, like the Bible says. So we see here in verses 1 through 7, if you will, kind of a cycle of life. A whole, you know, pretty good picture of from youth all the way up till death at the end. Once you're gone, you know, what takes place with the body and all those things and the spirit, if you will, going to heaven. And so, and then we could read on and see how he concludes the book. But if you will, notice back with me, there's a phrase I want us to notice this morning in verse number 1, which is kind of, I guess you'd say, the text verse or the jump out verse for this morning. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything you've done this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house, dear Lord. Thank you for the book of Ecclesiastes that you gave us, that, dear Lord, uses some great pictures to teach us some great truths, dear Lord. And I thank you for the chapter 12 that we're going to look at today, especially verse number 1. I pray that you'd help me this morning, that you'd touch my lips, my heart, my mind, dear Lord. I pray that only the things that you'd have said and done would be said and done this morning, that everything would be done according to your will. I pray that you'd help us to listen to what you have for us. I pray that you'd help us to be attentive to what you have for us. But, dear Father, I pray you'd help us to have soft hearts this morning as well, and humble hearts, dear Lord, and that, dear Lord, as you speak to us about things, dear Lord, no doubt from your word, I pray that you would help us to respond and to obey, dear Lord, in the way that you'd have us to, whatever that may be, whether it be salvation, repentance, whether it be, dear Lord, getting things right, dear Lord, or whether it be getting busy about some things, dear Lord, or whether it be comfort or strength that's needed. I pray that you just bless the service this morning. Have your will and way in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, does anybody remember what we talked about last Sunday? Anybody remember? You didn't know you was getting a pop quiz.
Beauty of the blood.
Amen. We talked about the blood, right? And how beautiful the blood is, and how wonderful it is, and amazing all the things that our blood does, and how over time we found out more and more how important blood really is, right? But there's something else that's beautiful, I believe, too, although this ain't the title of the message this morning. There's something else that's beautiful, and I believe that's our brains. Amen. I believe the blood's beautiful, but I believe the human brain that God's given to us is beautiful. Amen. You think about the human brain and all the things that it can compute and figure out and do. It's amazing, ain't it? It's amazing to think about our brains and to think about all that goes on in them and takes place in them. And a lot of times, I don't know how to describe it or better put it into words than to say this. A lot of times there's things going on up there that we don't even realize are going on up there that we don't even know about. And then later on, we're like, oh, yeah. And it's just, you know, our brains, I guess in my mind, our brains are constantly working. Amen. There's something constantly going on, constantly taking place. And it's just amazing to think about, you know, the blood's always doing what it does and how miraculous and beautiful that is. But the brain is the same way. And the brain is a miraculous, beautiful thing that God gave to us. And to me, it's one of the saddest things when somebody takes and gets to the place where they, you know, lose their ability to walk. It's one of the saddest things when somebody gets to the place where they lose their ability to talk. We've all maybe had friends or relatives or somebody down through the years that lost the ability to walk when they got older. They had to get in a wheelchair. Maybe we've known some people that have lost the ability to speak when they get older because of a stroke or something another like that, of that nature. But to me, one of the saddest things, and I don't want to say the saddest, but it's probably pretty close to it, if not the worst, is when you see somebody lose their mind. And when I say that, I don't mean go crazy, but I mean simply lose the ability to remember things. They get, a lot of times we say Alzheimer's or another different disease type thing, dementia, right? Which seems similar in a lot of ways. That people's brains, they just, you know, as they get older, different things happen, whatever, and they lose the memory. They lose the mind that they once have. They're not in their normal mind, their right mind anymore. And you tell them one thing, and then 2 minutes later, if even that long, they look back at you and they have no clue what was said. And I know that happens to all of us from time to time, especially the older you get, right? It happens more, but I'm talking about people that have it to where it happens just all the time with every single thing. And, you know, a lot of times they can remember, as vice versa with this, but sometimes people remember things that happened years ago but can't never remember nothing that happened a minute ago. And sometimes people remember something that happened a minute ago, the short term, but can't remember things that happened a year ago. And so it goes both ways. But you think about our brains are a wonderful thing, a great thing that God gave to us. And one of the saddest things is when somebody loses that ability to remember, especially in these diseases that I'm talking about. But as we get older, things do kind of get harder to remember, don't it? Things do seem more difficult to come to us, even to get out the words or the things that we want to say that are there than the way it used to be. Because when we were younger, our memory works a whole lot better most of the time, right? On the average, the memory works better when we're younger. I believe that's why in verse number 1, Solomon started this off. He said, remember, what's the next word? Now. Right now. He said, while you can, while you're young, while you still got the ability to, right? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. In other words, he's saying there's coming a time, and then he goes on to describing it, there comes a time where things change, right? Where things are different than what they used to be. He said, while you still can, while you're young, he said, remember these things. Now, some of y'all may be sitting there looking at me and say, well, I'm not young anymore. Well, can I remind you of the old saying? You know the saying, that you're only as old as you feel or think you are, I've heard some people say. And so I would remind you of that this morning and say, well, I'm age such and such. This don't apply to me. I'm done this morning with this message. By the way, I'm coming to you. Just hang on if you feel that way. But I encourage you not to feel that way this morning. Instead, to realize that if you're sitting here today, amen, and you're still here, thank the Lord for the mind, for the youth that you still have. Amen. Because simply this morning, there's, you know, when you get older, you'll look back till the age you are now and you'll say, boy, if I could remember like I was then, it wasn't like it used to be, but I wish I had even that much memory back. Amen. That much health, that much strength back. And here Solomon saying, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Simply this morning, the title of the message that the Lord gave me this morning is simply remember God. Remember God. I believe he's saying here, the wisest man that I believe ever lived here is telling them, he's saying, telling us this morning, hey, remember the Creator in the days of your youth, while you still can remember, amen, while you still have the mind that you have, while you still have some of the teeth that you have, amen, some of the hair that you have, some of the other things he went through, some of the physical things that you have, and you still can do some things. Remember right now, your Creator. Amen. Remember God. Remember Him this morning. Remember the One that made you, that created you. And if you're saved, remember the One that is your Heavenly Father. If you're not saved, remember the One that died for you on the cross of Calvary and wants to be your Heavenly Father this morning. Remember God this morning is simply the title of the message. Based off verse number 1, we see that we ought to remember God early in our life. Amen. We ought to remember God early in our life. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. You think about today, folks, when we're younger, amen, while we still have the health that we have, while we still can do the things that we can do, even though they may not be once they once was, I understand that. While we're young especially, we need to realize that we need to remember Him. Amen. Remember the One that created us. Remember the One that made us. Remember the One that's given you the strength that you got every day. Amen. To go on for Him. You think about, because one day you may not be able to go out and do the things that you once did. Remember the Creator that's made you. Remember Him in the days of your youth. When you're young is the time, when you're old too, but when you're young is the time, while you still can, especially, is the time to remember God. Amen? And to do the things that He would have you to do, while you still have the energy and the things to be able to do what you can for Him. I wrote here down in my notes, this is the prime time of life. Amen? When you're in the prime time of life, and the older you get, it seems like the prime time is not as, I guess you say, you know, when people say, well, you know, 40 used to seem old, or 50 used to seem old. Well, now 60 seems young. Well, that's what I'm saying. So wherever you are, it might still be your prime time of life. Amen. You're only as old as you think you are. Amen. And so you think about this morning, or as some people said, age is just a number. But I'll leave that part alone. But I'm simply saying, do all that we can for God while we still have what we have. Amen. Remember now your Creator. Especially young people ought to remember their Creator. Amen. Especially them in the fact that they have all the energy in the world. How many times have we all said, I look at David, especially Daniel, every day I look at him and think, boy, if I had that energy, right? How many times have we heard old people say that down through the years, and now I say it. That means I'm getting old. That's a sign. But anyway, remember now thy Creator in the days days of thy youth. Remember that. Amen. You think about the fact the older you get, the more you want to take naps. Amen. Remember Him while you still can, while you still have that ability. Remember the One that created you. Remember the purpose He created you for. And use yourself and your body and the things He's given you for His honor, for His glory. I think about when I was younger, and even still some now to a point at different times, not quite as much. I would have people look at me, and all young people have people do this, older folks, in one way or another. They'll look at them and they'll say, hey, one day you're going to make a great, for me it was a preacher. One day you're going to make a great preacher. And I had one day, I don't remember who it was because I'm getting old, but I wish I could. I had for the first time somebody look at me. And they told me, they said, I know people's telling you that all the time, and I know what they mean. They wouldn't be mean and critical toward people that say that. But they said, you know, I want you to know something. You're a great preacher for God now. Why not now? And I think about the same thing. A lot of times we think, well, I can do that later on when I get older. So that's what Solomon's saying. He says, no, don't do that. Remember now. Now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth. Do it now while you still have the chance. Amen. The breath, the health, the memory, whatever. Do it now for God. Don't take and wait till tomorrow and say, well, I'll do it when I get this age. Or I'll do it when I get there. No, do it now. Amen. You may not have the opportunity later on. Amen. I shouldn't say this probably, but that's one of the things I've looked at in my life. I'm going to be honest with you just for a few minutes this morning, especially. But it's one of the things I looked at in my life. When I was younger, the Lord gave me a lot of opportunities that other people didn't have. And I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm saying I always asked why. Why me? Why did God give me an opportunity to be a youth pastor, to pastor people that was teenagers just like I was a teenager? Why would God do that? Why would God give me the opportunity at a young age to take and to have so many opportunities to preach, whereas other people that was the same age, they wasn't given opportunities? It wasn't because I was so great or wonderful. I know that. I figured that out real quick. So why was it that God did that? I always asked myself that question when I went to Bible college, and I went there and I heard people talk, and it was like, oh, that I preached today for the second time. And here they are in Bible college. But yet the Lord had given me all these opportunities, which I was thankful for, but I asked the question, why, Lord? And I always felt like, I don't know if this is true or not, but I'm using this as an example this morning, if you will. I always felt like this. And you can say you're being doom and gloom when you say this, but that's just the way it is. I can't help it. I've always felt like why God's given me so many opportunities while I was younger is because maybe I wasn't going to have as long of a life as some other people do. That's a thought that's motivated me for many years. Because you're not promised tomorrow, right? You don't know how long you're going to have. You might be here one day and gone the next. And I ask myself, why, Lord, did you give me so many opportunities while I was younger? Maybe because if I would have waited to start when everybody else had started, I'd never got the opportunity. Whereas some of these people that God, you know, doesn't give them as much opportunities when they're younger, they might get to go till they're 80, 90 years old. I'm simply saying, I don't know, but I'm using that. The Lord's used that as motivation, if nothing else, in my heart and my life all along, the fact that, hey, you know what? While we got the strength, we got the help, as long as we're here, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Do what you can for God while you still can. Amen. Use the opportunity you have today because you're not promised tomorrow. You think about, they say, you know, you'll make a good someday or someday you'll do this great thing for God or whatever. Why not do it today? Amen. Why not do it today? I remember I've shared this with many of you many times, with y'all many times. It's nothing new, but the Lord brought this verse to my mind when I seen what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, and it's my life's verse is in 1 Timothy chapter number 4. The Lord reminded me of this, and I guess when I get 80, if I make it that old, I'll be still reading these verses. But 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 12, it says, let no man despise thy youth. But be an example. Here it is. Don't despise thy youth. Do what you can for God while you're young. There is no reason you still can't. Amen. No reason at all. Don't let the devil lie to you like that and say you got to wait till later. Let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, till the Lord calls me home. Amen. Or till He comes back in the rapture and calls me out. One of the two. Till I come. Just be faithful. Keep going. Paul's telling Timothy, till I come, you keep doing this. Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Notice these words. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Do it now. Holy, fully, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself. Here's a warning, though, for especially when you're younger, if you ain't careful, you get wishy-washy. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen. We need to take and remember the Creator in our early days. Amen. While we still can do things for God, if you will, in the prime time, we might say, of our life, we need to take and be busy for the Lord. Remember God early in your life. Turn with me, if you would, though, to another time I think we need to remember God, and that's found in Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4. I tell you, Nehemiah, he was a great man for the Lord. Nehemiah chapter 4. In Nehemiah chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter number 4. One of the songs that I liked a lot growing up, it's an older song now, but it was based off Esther. And I'll never forget one of the first messages that the Lord gave me that I preached when I was younger was from Esther, dealing with that phrase where it says, "For such a time as this, He said, called you into the kingdom." And I think about that phrase this morning when I think about remembering God today, early in our life, our prime time, when we still have the ability to do the things that we do. We need to remember God. We need to remember Him this morning. For such a time as this, God's placed you here. Amen. To do what He would have us to do, and we need to do it. God's placed you here in this church for such a time. We need to do what God wants us to do while we're still here and while we still have the opportunity to. Nehemiah 4 and verse number 1. We're going to read a good many verses here to get the context. Nehemiah 4 and verse number 1. It says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall," as they're working on rebuilding the wall here around Jerusalem, He was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves with a sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" They're mocking them and trying to build this wall. "Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall." Even if they do get it built, it's not going to hold up. It's not going to stand. And boy, people will do that when you're trying to do something for God. They'll mock you. "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their approach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." So, notice this, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof." Now I mark this phrase in my Bible, "For the people had a mind to work." They had a mind to work. "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were wroth." They got upset. "And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it." That's what the devil will try to do. When you get a mind to work for God, he'll try to hinder you. "Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed." Their strength was going away. They were getting discouraged, if you will. And that happens sometimes when you're bearing the burden. "And there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." Here these was, Judah was saying, they got discouraged. And they said they were bearing the burden of doing these things. And they looked and they said, "Hey, we're not able to build this wall. We can't do it. It's just too much We just can't do it. We ever feel like that in our lives? Notice what he says. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them. I'm going to sneak up on them. And slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Notice this phrase, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, and your daughters, and your wives, and your houses. And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned of all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. I believe the second time we need to remember God this morning, as verse 14 said, and some other verses alluded to, is in the battles of our life. Amen. When we're in the battles of our life in service for the Lord, we need to remember God. Amen. Remember Him. You see, today you think about, here was Nehemiah. They were taking and trying to do what God wanted them to do. They were trying to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. Amen. They were trying to rebuild, if you will, their protection. Amen. If you will, to keep people out. Amen. To keep from harm. To take and to keep them safe, if you will, which we know the cities had, especially back in those times. And you think about, they needed that. They needed that protection. But a lot of times we get in the battles. Here they were in a battle. Not at this point yet to where they were spear and swords, if you will, fighting one another. But the fact there was a lot of kind of like the Cold War type thing going on is the way I see it. Words, right? Back and forth. Those words of war, if you will. Those threats being made, if you will. And you think about, here they was trying everything they could. They even tried in one place we know to get Nehemiah to come down there and to stop the work so they could talk to him. He said, no. He said, I'm not going down to Ono. I got great work to do. Amen. God's called me to a great work. We're too busy with this. And they were trying to trick him so they could get him and kill him possibly and stop the work, if you will. And you think about here in the battles of life, we need to remember God. When we get in a fight, when things get hard, when things are hard to keep on going on, remember God's with you. Amen. Remember He's with you. And that's what Nehemiah told them. He said, hey, I know you're discouraged. They said that. He said, I know things are burdensome. I know things are heavy. He said, but don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. Amen. Don't fear man, but fear God, could sum up what He's trying to tell them here. Amen. Don't fear man. Don't fear what they're saying like you're doing. Don't be afraid of them. But remember the Lord. He's the one that's great and terrible. He's the one that you ought to fear. He's the one, He's saying, that's more powerful. Amen. Not saying God's terrible in the way that we use it nowadays, but He's the one that you ought to fear. Amen. He's the one that can do harm, if you will. He's the one we need to take and to serve and to be concerned with and worry about. He said, remember the Lord, if you will, in the battles of life that we face. We need to remember God. And of course, they kept building the wall, the Bible says, with the trowel or the tool, if you will, and building the wall in one hand and the sword in the other. They were ready. Amen. They were going to build the wall, but they were ready to fight if they had to at the same time. Amen. And to defend. And that's the way we ought to be. We ought to be ready to work. Amen. And if we have to, we ought to be ready to fight. Amen. To build the wall, to do what God would have us to do. You think about the fact they were on the firing line. Amen. They were keeping on going for God despite the trials, despite the arrows of the words that was flying that could have discouraged all of them. But thankfully, Nehemiah didn't get discouraged. Some of the people got discouraged, but he didn't get discouraged. Amen. And that's a challenge to me that I need to do the same thing. When we get discouraged, We need to not get discouraged. We need to keep on going for God. Amen. We need to take as a leader, as somebody, we need to take and keep on going for Him and not get down, not get discouraged, if you will, and not quit as oftentimes we want to do. There's so many people today, so many churches, pastors, preachers, church folk that are taking and quitting on God. amen, that are quitting. They're getting discouraged. And I can understand getting discouraged. I've been there. I know. Trust me. We all know, right, about discouragement. If you've been trying to live life long enough for the Lord, you know about discouragement. But the difference is there's some people that get discouraged, go to the Lord, get help, and move on and go on. And then there's some people who get discouraged and they just sit there and wallow in it for the rest of their life until eventually they get to the place where they quit. Some of them quit going to church. Some of them quit doing anything for God. And some of them, they still show up. They're still there on the pew, but they're so discouraged they're not doing anything other than being there, which is better not being there. But really, in the end, there's not much difference. Why? Because the battles of life have caused them to get discouraged. When you have your battles of life, remember God. Remember what God can do. Keep on the firing line for Him. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't quit. Remember the Lord in the battles of life that we face. Amen. He's there with us. He'll fight the battle for us. He'll help us in these things that we face. I was reminded of another song that we sing sometimes. There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. With ensign fair we lifted up today, as chosen ones we sang, marching on, marching on. For Christ count everything but loss. Amen. To crown Him King, toil and sing, neath the banner of the cross. We ought to be willing to march on for Him. Amen. Even when the battle gets hot and things get hard and people say things and do things, we ought to keep on the battle for the Lord. Amen. Keep on the firing line for Him. You think about, so we ought to remember God early in our life. We ought to remember God in the battles of our life. But the third and the last time we'll talk about this morning that we need to remember God is found in Psalms chapter number 63. Psalms chapter number 63. Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And this verse, I tell you, it's a good verse of Scripture to think about, to meditate on. A lot of different applications can be made from this verse. A lot of different applications. It says, when I remember thee, the psalmist David here said, when I remember thee, talking about God, upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. I believe that there's another time that we need to remember God, and that's in the nighttime, in the night season, in the nighttime. You see, the psalmist said here again, I read it, he said in verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. When we come to the nighttime of our life, or the night season, if you will, of our life, we ought to remember God. I believe today you can take this verse and mean, you know, for several different, like I said, applications out of it. One is that when we're on our bed at night, amen, at the end of our day that we've lived that day, we need to remember God, amen. Remember the things that God's brought us through that day, that He's helped us with, amen. The way God's been there. Remember God before you go to bed at night. Don't go to bed thinking about all the junk from the day, but go to bed thinking about Jesus, amen, and what He's done for you throughout the day. End. We talk about starting our day off on the right foot, reading our Bible. Well, it's good to end it on the right foot too, amen. Because a lot of times the way we wake up, it affects the rest of our day. Well, the way we go to sleep, guess what that affects a lot of times? The rest of our day, amen. You think about, He says, when I'm there in my bed, He said, upon my bed, He said, I remember thee. He remembers God and He meditates on the Lord in all throughout the night. You think about the way I believe we might could apply this, if you will, is not only when we come to the end of the day, but also when we come to the end of our life. Amen. When we come to the end of our life, when our life draws near at the end, amen, and we're on our bed, our deathbed, if you will, the night season we talk about, things are closing down in our life, we're getting near the end, then guess what? We need to meditate and remember God. We need to remember all the things that God's done for us throughout our life. We need to remember that. I'll tie in another verse in a minute, but let me give you this third thing. Also, we use a lot of times the picture of the night season to talk about hard times in life. But I want you to notice with me this verse, Psalms 23. Psalms 23. You're familiar with this chapter. And it's a shame that we only use it at funerals. We ought to use it a whole lot more other times. But Psalms 23 and verse number 4. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want you to notice verse 4, that phrase, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." May I say simply this in closing this morning, that we need to remember God in the night season. We need to remember God when our life comes to the end. Amen. When we come to the end of the road. Amen. We need to remember God. A lot of times people take, unfortunately, as they get later on in life, I don't know why it's this way. It isn't this way with everybody. It seems like either one or two things happen. This is my observation. You can disagree with it. It's fine. This ain't Bible. This is my observation. One of two things happen. Either they get more stubborn and you can't tell them nothing. Right? Or the older people get, they say you can't teach an old dog new tricks, and they just won't listen to nothing you try to say. Or people, the older they get, a lot of times what happens to them? They'll just give in on anything. They'll just give in on anything. They won't want to fight for nothing no more. They won't want to stand for the things they used to stand for anymore. Somebody does something in the family, or somebody says or done something, and all of a sudden, the next thing you know, they're just like, "Well, that's okay. That's just the way it is. And I've seen these things, and you ain't seen the things I have," and they just take and... Whereas 30 years ago, it would have been a whole different story. A lot of times you see one of the two things, for not all the time, but for some reason you see those things. I've seen a lot of times in older preachers, when they've been pastoring for years and years and years, near the end of their life, there's things they allow to go on that it used to be years ago, they would have said, "That's not right." But at the end, they take and they just let things go. I'm simply saying that our life, all throughout it, we need to remember God. We need to remember the one that we serve. When you're young, you still got energy, you still got vigor, whether that for you is 20, whether that for you is maybe 50, 60, 70. You say, "I still feel young." Amen. Right? Remember that Creator. But you know what? In the battles of life, you need to remember Him too. And when you're near the end of your life, remember Him as well. I think about, as I close this morning, I think about a lot of times what Dr. Comfort said when I was an ambassador, and he was older then, and he's even older now. I think about what he said many, many times over. He said, people take and they always talk about starting out good for God and how important it is to start on the right foot and how important that is and keeping on, keeping on. He said all those, and I'm not quoting him exact when I'm telling you this part, but he said, that is important. He said, but for me, he said, I believe it's more important than how you start, it's how you finish. It's how you finish. And he said, I've tried my best throughout my life. He said, there's something to this effect many times. He said, I've tried the best throughout my life. I've made mistakes. I've done things, you know, we all have. He said, but I've tried the best throughout my life to please God and do what He wants me to do. Looking back, we'd do things different, of course. I mean, every one of us, if we got any sense, would say, there's some things along the way, yeah, I wish I'd have done different. Rewind button, right? But you know what? He said, I'm not worried about all that so much as finishing well for the Lord. I don't know how many times I heard him say that. I want to finish well. I don't want it to be said, well, at the end, he did this. And that's what I was meaning, not being mean or critical, but when you get older, it seems to be one of the two ways. One of the two ways a lot of times. And I say this, that we need to remember God all throughout our life. Remember the one that gives you the strength, that gives you the help, that gives you what He gives you, and let's use it for Him no matter what stage we're in our life. No matter what stage we're in our walk, may we take and remember God. And today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe today might be the day that you look at the cross and remember what He's done for you. Look at Him. Look at that cross. I heard a great song yesterday on a new CD that me and Kelly had got. And it talked about grace on a refrigerator door. And at first I thought, this is kind of crazy, you know, it's kind of unique. But what it was talking about was a little kid. Early in life, this little girl had taken and made a picture in Sunday school, and it was with some popsicle sticks, made a wooden cross, with some little fluffy balls of cotton, had made a sheep, you know, a lamb, if you will, in this little picture, and colored it in with some coloring sheet type things. And how years later, that picture got brought back up that was just kind of, you know, shoved to the side and said, well, there's Grace right there still on the refrigerator door. And I thought about, you know, we need to remember God no matter what phase we're in our life. Amen. Those simple things, remember Him and remember what He's done. Let's pray.